Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. We've got another bonus episode. This is the fourth bonus episode. Yes. I'm working on my televangelist preacher cadence. That's where we're going with this someday. We'll start the cult. Now come forward if you want to step on down and have your sins forgiven. You can put the money in the basket and give it on up to the big man upstairs. Yeah, I want to go with a mixture of wrestling, cult leader, evangelist, and this is all just an experiment until I find my footing to do that. I kid. Of course, you're listening to another bonus episode. I told you I would do four bonus episodes in the month of April, an abnormally, astronomically high amount of bonus episodes. Usually I give one a month to the supporter feed, and as a way of raising awareness of the supporter feeds and showing my gratitude, I did four in the month of April. This is your fourth one. Eyes Wide Shut. You know it, you love it. It's the movie that never ends. It's the there's so much symbolism that fits in this bad boy. It just keeps going. This is our seventh episode deep diving into Eyes Wide Shut, and more to come, I'm sure. You know, I wrote a book called Kubrick's Code, which if you signed up for the VIP section or Patreon, you got a free digital copy of that. And we talked about Eyes Wide Shut, one of the most important films of all time. A revelation of the method, a revelation of the occult practices by the greatest director to ever do it, starring the second greatest actor of all time. I mean, what more could you ask for? You really can't ask for much more. Got tattoos of it on my arm. That's how much I loved it. If you're watching the Tier 2 and Up video, or you're on the Rock fan, you see it. It's right here. That's the red cloak. Now, today we're going to focus on a guy named Larry Solana and another guy named Jeffrey Epstein. Maybe you've heard of him. But today we are going to break down a bizarre theory that came to light a couple months ago. But I wanted to sort of deeper dive into it than the Reddit folks would do. So it took me a little bit of time to catch up. But we're going to talk about a theory about Larry Solana. He's a journalist for the New York Post. And he was hired by Stanley Kubrick for Stanley Kubrick's, obviously, his last film, Eyes Wide Shut. And I'm going to assume you're familiar with the film because there will be some level of plot spoilage going on here. If you haven't seen Eyes Wide Shut, I don't know what to tell you. You better go watch it. And then I've got seven episodes now for you to listen to. There's so much for you to understand about the world of the occult and the esoteric doctrine, the inner sanctum of the Illuminati. And we're going to peel back some linkages to Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell on this bonus episode. Thank you very much for supporting the show. And like I said, we've done... it was all in 2021. I did six episodes on Eyes Wide Shut. We did the deep dive part one, a discussion about love, marriage, and sex. Then we did deep dive part two, MK Ultra, rainbow symbolism, orgies, sex magic, and the mysteries revealed, which today we're going to hit on a little bit of Wizard of Oz rainbow talk, just a little bit. Deep dive three, we went through Dream Novella, the Trom Novel, the book that this was based upon. Stanley Kubrick infamously took, 40 years to make this movie. He wanted to for a very long time. Then we did Deep Dive Part 4, which we started going through a book about the making of Eyes Wide Shut. That actually took two episodes. That was Deep Dive 4 and Deep Dive 5. Then we did Deep Dive 6 on a film called The Mask of Red Death, which was based upon a... Now I lost it. He's a very famous writer, Edgar Allan Poe. I just went to his place in Philly a couple years ago. Now, the topic today, I'm going to try to keep it on the rails because there's a lot of landmines, a lot of tangential rabbit holes we could be going down, but we're not going to do that today. No. We're going to be in and out. We're going to get it done. We're going to catch you up on the latest here, all right? And we're referring to, how much of the, so I'm concerned I've got people on here that maybe don't know the whole story, and I want to briefly take 3 minutes to go through it, all right? Eyes Wide Shut, a film we've talked about so many times. In the story, and it's about a guy named Dr. Bill Harford and his wife Alice Harford, and they live in Manhattan, and Dr. Bill ends up going through a series of events to a mansion where they're having the masked orgy ball, which is where a lot of the conspiracies drop out for this film. And that's basically what it is. The whole film is about marriage and monogamy and secret societies and covering up sacrifices and rituals and all kinds of stuff. Well, in the movie, Dr. Bill Harford, played by the second greatest actor of all time, Tom Cruise, he goes to this orgy house thinking he's just going to, you know, take a look. And he gets called out as a fraud, as an uninvited guest. And they basically threaten him. And they're like, look, you didn't see nothing. You're never welcome back here. And we're probably going to kill you. So he leaves, and then he's trying to unravel what happened and who the women were. There's a woman there that was talking to him that was in a mask. What happened to her? And he's being tailed by a guy who looks like Aleister Crowley. And Dr. Bill, he goes to this coffee shop. He picks up a newspaper. And there's a shot from the film where it's, and I'll put the image on the Instagram. It's a newspaper, a phony newspaper prop for the film. And you see a headline, ex-beauty queen in hotel drugs overdose. Wait, is that right? I think I said that wrong. Hang on. I'm going to read to you. Ex-beauty queen in hotel drugs overdose. Yeah, that's the name of it. That's weird. I never noticed how goofy that sounded until I said it out loud. Well, that's what it says. And the problem is that Dr. Bill knows this is a lie. Because the woman at the orgy house said that she would be sacrificed in order to save Dr. Bill. It's implied. And he's like, oh crap, that woman who saved my life, they killed her and they're trying to say it's a drug overdose. And there's a lot of components here to look at. There's the idea that the mainstream media is covering up this thing. The elites have control over the newspapers. The elites are setting the narrative. The elites are covering up a ritual sacrifice at this Gnostic orgy house. And he knows all. Dr. Bill knows it all. He even goes to the morgue and he checks out the body and he's like, yeah, that's her. That's the woman. That's Mandy. Mandy, who was the prostitute at Ziegler's house at the beginning of the movie at the party. But the idea is that the news makes it look as if there was a suicide. Maybe. That's a little loose, right? It says drug overdose. Could be a suicide, maybe not. But the reality is, this woman was a pawn, a sex slave for the elites in their twisted little game, all right? Now let's talk about this newspaper, this prop in the film. You see in the image, I'm looking at it right now, that the article, Ex-Beauty Queen in Hotel Drugs Overdose, is written by Larry Salona. Now, this is very curious, because Larry Salona is a real journalist. You know, Kubrick was a very eccentric guy. He decided he was going to pay an actual journalist from the New York Post as a consultant for the film and to create this phony newspaper prop. So he had him write it up. I mean, that's pretty thorough, right? You're going to hire an actual journalist to write up an actual newspaper thing, an article. And what's curious is that Salona did in fact write about Stanley Kubrick's death, because as the story goes, Stanley Kubrick, this was his last film, Eyes Wide Shut. He was supposed to work on AI with Steven Spielberg, which would have been amazing, right? but he died. He died from a heart attack at age 70. But Larry Stallone in the New York Post wrote this. Legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick was happy, joking around, and completely at peace just hours before he died of a heart attack in his sleep. He was up Saturday night and in very good spirits, said a Hollywood source close to Kubrick, who died at his English country estate Sunday morning at age 70. He had just learned that Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman and the executives at Warner Brothers had screened his new movie Eyes Wide Shut and absolutely loved it. He was happy, joking around, and completely at peace, and was already thinking about a new project, the source said. Then he went to bed as usual. The next morning, his wife found him dead. He had suffered a heart attack in his sleep. It was completely unexpected. An autopsy revealed that Kubrick died of natural causes. Now, Larry Salona, I mean, it would make sense that he writes this, right? He was an actual journalist. He actually worked with Stanley Kubrick. But he's very curious because he is also the guy who first broke the story of the death of JFK Jr., the guy who died in the plane accident, remember? In 99. Now, here's where things get even weirder. JFK Jr., very curious because recently, if you recall, the QAnon movement were down in Fort Worth or Dallas, Texas, talking about how JFK Jr. has been alive this whole time and he's going to reinstate Trump or some nonsense. I don't know. These guys are out of hand. Or he's coming back to life or something. But anyway, so that was kind of interesting, right? That's relevant. But what's curious is that JFK Jr. died on July 16th, 1999. Do you know what other significant event happened on that exact day? That's the day Eyes Wide Shut was released in the U.S. theaters. Yes, the same exact day. What's the significance? I don't know. It's very strange, though, right? This is Salona is connecting the dots here between some pretty big events. And if you look at, and if you go into Fringeville, some people say the anagram for Larry Salona is Royal Lancers, and the Royal Lancers is a unit of the British Army, of which Prince Andrew was a colonel in chief until he got stripped of all his titles. Prince Andrew, of course, I don't know if I should say allegedly, I'll do it to be safe. I wasn't found guilty, but anyway, allegedly, Prince Andrew messing around with the girls with Epstein. Now, here's where the big conspiracy that we're talking about today comes through. Larry Salona was the first to break the Epstein killed himself story through the New York Post. He's the first one to do it. In fact, he also wrote the July 2nd, 2020 article about Ghislaine Maxwell getting arrested as well. So this guy's very well connected, right? He was the first to publish the photo of Epstein's body being taken from prison after he, you know, killed himself. But yeah, he also broke the Ghislaine Maxwell arrest. And Ghislaine, you know, the Ghislaine trial, that's over now. But the drama is not. She's supposedly going to reveal the name of the 8 John Does. This is some secret woo-woo stuff about who's messing around with the kids. Still waiting. And it's amazing, right? Like, we haven't heard anything about her. What's going on there? And recently on a show, we talked about her appearance at Disney World in 1985 via the Mirror. Right? The Mirror. The British tabloid magazine owned by Ghislaine's daddy, Robert Maxwell, before he got Epstein. Robert Maxwell, the supposedly, allegedly, a Mossad intelligence asset, supposedly. And the Mirror, that's a very curious title. We've talked about that before. It's an occult symbol. And that's why Alice threw the looking glass. It's a symbol of transformation, and she enters a new world. She enters Wonderland through the Mirror, which is very relevant because in Eyes Wide Shut, Alice Harford played by Nicole Kidman, is depicted looking into the mirror many times. It's on the movie poster. It's in the infamous lovemaking scene. Nicole Kidman plays the role of Alice through the looking glass. They're direct metaphors. And in terms of the occult, the mirror is important because, and we're going to tie this into a lot of different ideas, Wizard of Oz, Gnosticism. But in Gnosticism, there's an idea that Sophia is actually God's mirror. So when you see the divine feminine, Nicole Kidman, Alice in Wonderland, gazing into the mirror, into the looking glass, it could symbolize this as well. In fact, if you recall, we talked about Scarlett Johansson in the film Under the Skin also becomes self-aware when she looks in the mirror. That's what supposedly God did in the Gnostic version of creation. And this goes, and if you go into Hermeticism, the law of Hermes, and the law of correspondence, as above, so below, and all that stuff, it's described as a mirror reflection, all right? All things are reflected. You have the macro to the micro, the body to the mind, the spirit to nature. With the idea that humans, which even the Bible says were created in God's image, the humans are the mirror image of the divine. And this plays into the role of sexy time, because when a male and a female join, they unionize, this shows the reunification method of God's perfected male and female polarities. Because in the Gnostic version of who God is, God created the Seges. These are perfected pairs. Sophia, of course, being one of them. The female aspect of one of the pairs. And Sophia, without the permission or buy-in from her male consort, created the demiurge, which created our world. The false god created our world. Anyway, I tell you, we're not going to get buried in rabbit hole talk here, okay? Now, what's curious is that one of the articles next to the ex-beauty queen article, if you read it, there's lines in there about a fictitious hostage situation. It says, "I'm not going down," he shouted. "You're not going to take me alive. I'm not afraid to die. You're going to have to take me out of here in a body bag." Which sounds very much like Epstein sort of committing the suicide. Or perhaps seeing an assailant and saying, "Look, I'm not afraid to die. You're going to carry me out in a body bag." And that's what they did. And of course, why does all this matter? Well, it's Kubrick's last film, chocked full of occult ritual symbolism, about elites gathering to do massed orgies for the powers of sex magic or whatever they're doing, and ritual sacrificial murder of the goddess. And we know this stuff can be real. And that's the argument presented, is that Kubrick knew this was happening, and he tried to reveal it to all of us. And that's why they killed him. They had one of the scenes in the orgy ball is a man on all fours being used as a table, being used as a piece of furniture. Shout out Ryan Page. We interviewed him in 2020, and he dropped that news on us. And sure enough, if you watch the correct version of the film, you can see that. They blurred it out. They blurred that part out in the other version of the film. I think it was like, the way it goes, it was had an NC-17 rating because too much sex, I guess. So the ratings board made them tweak some things in, and supposedly this happened after Kubrick died. And this conspiracy is that he revealed too much. And that could be it. He revealed the human furniture. But we know all this stuff can be real because we know about Bohemian Grove, where they get together and do this cremation of care ceremony, where they sacrifice a child to this big stone owl statue. The Catholic Church covers up a bunch of like messed up stuff. The Hellfire Club, they were doing a bunch of crazy stuff underground with the masks on, doing satanic orgies and crazy stuff. In fact, Mike Tyson recently, he was on Joe Rogan talking about how the elites are hunting homeless people. He thinks it's happening. And I don't disagree with him. Remember that movie, The Hunt? We did a show on that last year, I believe. And that's what that movie's all about. There's lots of versions. Squid Game, very similar. We see it over and over. And it's curious because Mike Tyson was on Joe Rogan, and almost the same day or the same week was when he punched that dude on the plane, and that's all anyone talked about was that. Meanwhile, he's talking about how the elites are hunting humans. No one's talking about that. Now, to get back into that newspaper article, listen to this. It's talking about the woman that overdosed. Says she has many important friends in the fashion and entertainment worlds, and she believed she'd break through in the end. It's just a matter of time. Now, this sounds very similar to Ghislaine Maxwell on some level. So Mandy from Eyes Wide Shut, in some ways, mirrors Ghislaine Maxwell. Because if you deep dive into the whole Epstein conspiracy, you can see how relevant this is when you look at the people in the Black Book hanging out with Epstein and Ghislaine. There were, if you go to, I was following the Twitter feed for Tracker Trial. I think they got banned. We'll see if they come back. I don't know. It was listing the court proceedings. And it named some people in Epstein's Black Book, which, you know, that's in his Black Book. That doesn't necessarily mean they were hanging out, but probably not a place I'd want to show up. He had names like Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Donald Trump, Bill Cosby, Tony Blair, Ron Burkle, don't know who that is, Chelsea Clinton, Henry Kissinger, Alec Baldwin, yes, the guy who just shot somebody, John Kerry, well, allegedly, he said he didn't, he said he pulled the hammer back and it went off, John Kerry, Woody Allen, oh dear, Melania Trump, oh dear, and also, just for a side fun note, the December 2nd trial, they interviewed Alessi, the house cleaner, and she said there was a massage room that Epstein had, and there were tons of large dildos, and he would put these in a basket filled with porno tapes. This is the 90s, right? The tapes. And that says the house had photos of Donald Trump, the Pope, and he thinks Fidel Castro. Interesting. But anyways, this Black Book was authenticated in court, and it allows the attorneys to reference the Black Book as legitimate accounts of evidence, providing tools for prosecution to evaluate the motivations for Epstein possessing such relationships. Now, there's photos of Piers Morgan hanging out with Ghislaine Maxwell as well as Elon Musk, the Twitter savior, which I'm very skeptical of myself. You know, me and Josie do a show called Breaking Social Norms, and we recently did two episodes counting down the most evil nerds. And I'm not going to give it away because I want you to listen to those two episodes. But let's just say Elon Musk is definitely on the list. Definitely an evil nerd. You definitely got to watch out for that. But yeah, and then, you know, at the time, Alec Baldwin was hot in the news when he accidentally, allegedly shot and killed someone on the set of that film Rust. Which wouldn't surprise me. This guy, he tends towards younger women. So, I mean, why wouldn't he be? There was also a discussion. There's a Reddit user named Maxwell Hill that the Reddit people figured out was probably Ghislaine Maxwell. Because this user was posting nearly every day for 14 years. And the day the user went offline was the day Ghislaine Maxwell got arrested. And I looked it up today, you know, months later. And sure enough, nothing. So it's probably true, right? Oh, also, Rupert Murdoch was in Epstein's book, the guy that owns Fox News. So in case you think it's just one political party, I think they're all into this stuff. They're all into the kids, unfortunately. So why are we talking about all this? Who cares? What do we make of it? Well, it's just one more anomaly into the legend of Stanley Kubrick. The idea that his movies are packed with key players, esoteric doctrine, and secrets of the mystery schools revealed over time for the detectives figuring it out, the online sleuths, which is what we do often, right? Now, and here's one more bombshell before we wrap this up. Another bizarre claim about Larry Salona, the guy who is the journalist who wrote this article in the film and works for the New York Post and broke the story of Epstein and broke the death of Epstein, broke the arrest of Ghislaine, broke the death of Stanley Kubrick. Allegedly, he was also on the Lolita Express. Yes. Allegedly, he was on Epstein's plane. Now, I don't know that for a fact. I downloaded what is claimed to be a 112-page flight log that was in the court, the court proceedings. I could be wrong, though. I'm no journalist, right? I don't shake it all the way down. And I looked for Salona on the document, and there was an entry for April 1998. Didn't say Larry Salona. It just said Salona, because in the entries, there's a lot of just single names. Sometimes it was both names, like Bill Clinton was on there, spelled out Bill Clinton. Anyway. So it seems the allegation might be true. Larry Salona was on the Lolita Express. Did Stanley Kubrick know all this? Is that why he picked that guy? Or maybe Salona was trying to help reveal the whole thing. Here's what things in my in conclusion, I like to give you a nice little plot twist and a deeper conspiracy for you, so get ready. Now, the screenplay for Eyes Wide Shut was written by a guy named Frederick Raphael, okay? And if you recall from one of our many episodes, we talked about the password for the... Okay, so when Dr. Bill shows up to the orgy house, there's a password to get in. He's told by his buddy, who's the piano player in there, who gets blindfolded, that the password is Fidelio, all right? Well, originally, the screenplay written, the password was supposed to be Oz, O-Z, like Wizard of Oz. So here we have a connection to Helena Blavatsky's Theosophy. And we've got, you know, L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz, because L. Frank Baum was a follower of Blavatsky and her Theosophy, Theosophical Society. We also have Aleister Crowley, who was, you know, in the same sort of, hailed as the same sort of thought leader of the occult around the same time. He wrote a book called Liber Oz, or Book 77. And Book 77 is just a short sort of poem about how the new religion of the new age will be Thelema. And this is where you get a lot of the phrases, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. You get phrases like, every man and every woman is a star. And then the big one, there is no God but man. And then you get a lot of the social Darwinian satanic idea, like man has the right to kill those who would thwart these rights. And then it goes through a bunch of rights man has to live, to work, to play as he so desires. But then it also says the slaves shall serve, which is the attitude of the elites. When Mike Tyson talks about how the elites could be hunting humans, it's because they subscribe to the social Darwinianism. Right? That they've been put in this position as the apex predators. This is very similar to how we understood Kurt Barker's book on cannibalism and blood drinking and high adept Satanism. about how the elites view themselves as the apex predators. So what does the apex predator do? He eats the slaves. So they do it literally. And there's 6 degrees of separation between all kinds of crazy stuff. Like Bobby Beausoleil, he was in a rock band called the Magic Powerhouse of Oz. And he was recruited by a guy named Kenneth Anger for a film he was making called Lucifer Rising. But then they beefed, they split up, and Bobby Beausoleil ended up joining the Manson family. And he's the one that kicked off the Helter Skelter murders when he killed Gary Hinman. And then Kenneth Anger, when Bobby Beausoleil got arrested, ended up hiring Mick Jagger to do the music. Then Mick Jagger would go on to witness the murder at Altamont, and he was bugged out by all this occult stuff that Marianne Faithfull had him getting into, and he was like, you know what, I'm out. For those reasons, I'm out, he said. but yeah, this Oz thing is very bizarre. So for it to be the password of the orgy originally is very strange. And The Wizard of Oz, of course, one of the biggest film initiations of all time. You know, Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey was probably the second biggest. But the whole film given to us by, you know, by a guy, L. Frank Baum, a theosophist, they all believed in this Gnosticism idea of a false god, the Demiurge, who in the film is represented by the actual Wizard of Oz. Because you know the story of Wizard of Oz, they get to the Emerald City, like the Emerald Tablets, right? And they pull the curtain back, and Oz is just a little bitch. He's a fraud, which is what the Gnostics believe the real God is a false God. Now, of course, the whole thing makes sense, and it all comes together when, in Eyes Wide Shut, you keep seeing these references to rainbows. It's in the film many, many times. It's the name of the costume shop. The two girls at the beginning at Ziegler's party who grab Dr. Bill, and they say, and he's like, where are you taking me? And they say, well, we're going to where the rainbow ends. It's all over it, right? And it's a reference to seeing what's on the other side, what's hidden from reality. And if you look at it from a biblical perspective, the idea is that God gave us this rainbow as a sort of way of apologizing for decimating all of the mankind with a flood. And I think it's a trigger meant to have the person think about that and to think and to question how crazy and jealous this God is. Like, bro, you love us, but you just killed all of us with a flood. What the heck, man? Now, here's where we go. Okay, this bombshell, then I'm dropping the mic and I'm walking away, all right? The first draft of Eyes Wide Shut, and this is info from Colker and Abrams' book on the making of Eyes Wide Shut, not a conspiracy book at all, which is the same book from which I cited how Kubrick was reading a book called Cult and the Occult. And he underlined several passages, one of which was about how they were messing around with a little boy, which obviously was not in the film. But it was like a ritualistic element of messing around with this boy. That's in my deep dive, I think part 4 or 5 or whatever. You'd have to listen to him. Sorry. I should have had that ready for you. That just came into my mind. I forgot about it. Anyway, from that book, not a sensational conspiracy book at all, says the first draft of Eyes Wide Shut included some very curious original names for these characters. Are you ready for this? Malik's daughter. Remember Malik, he's the guy who runs the costume shop. The guy, when Dr. Bill shows up, he's like, hey, I need a mask and cloak for this party I'm about to hit. And Malik is like, all right, cool. And he turns the light on and he sees two Japanese men messing around with his daughter, who she's very much underage. It's probably like 16 or 17. Which is all very strange, right? Well, Malik's daughter, her name was originally supposed to be Dorothy. And the Japanese men were supposed to be humming Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And then on top of that, if you read through this book, it says that Ziegler originally was supposed to be named Frank, which ties us into Wizard of Oz with L. Frank Baum or Frank Morgan, the actor who plays the Wizard of Oz. So all of these things are very well connected. A lot of strange oddities going on here. And to sum it all up, the idea is that it shows the attitudes of the elites who would definitely not be above having some sex slaves, right? And definitely they wouldn't be above covering up the death of this victim as suicide. And they definitely would coordinate with the mainstream media. That's why these rich guys like Bezos is buying up newspapers and Washington Post or whatever he bought. Elon Musk is buying Twitter. They're controlling the narrative. They're buying the news. I mean, what the hell, man? And Stanley Kubrick was trying to leave us a trail of breadcrumbs. And that's what he did. And that's why we talk about him to this day. That's why we did 7 episodes. My goodness. And if you want more, there's... Oh, and I'm looking at it now. The Eyes Wide Shut Deep Dive 4 and 5 were the book reviews that we did. They were both bonus episodes from April 2021. That's where we talked about Kubrick underlining those passages and stuff. So check those out if you want more. All right. Whew. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. I hope you maintain your support. I appreciate you checking it out. Maybe you're a newbie. This is your first time checking it out, but I'm telling you, just to get rid of the ads, it's probably worth it for you. And if not, that's fine too. You can go back to being a free feed loser if you want. I'm just kidding. I appreciate you listening either way. This podcast means a lot to me. It's my, I'm not gonna say my life purpose, but it's becoming a very big part of my life. It's very important to me now. This is my baby now. And I thank you for listening to it, appreciating it, supporting it in every which way you can. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay woke.